broadband internet service providers in Real Simple Syndication are proud to bring you
Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night. That over there is Carlin.
And that over there is Jordan.
And today we are going to be doing, well, a review that
has, it's, I mean, we knew it was coming.
We kind of hinted that this was coming for a long time, but we were hoping to, like put it off as long as possible.
What I like to say is Jordan brought it upon himself by saying at one point that if we've watched the first of something and there are sequels, we should watch them. So this one is actually a submission from a fan.
Do we really want to say he's a fan?
Yeah, he's a fan. His name is Matt Shahusky, or Matthew Shahusky, however you want to say
Matthew Shahusky.
And he did the thing. He did the thing that you need to do if you want your pick jumped to the front of the line.
I know what the thing is.
Yeah, Jordan, go ahead. What's the thing?
The thing that you do is you go on iTunes and you leave us a review. It doesn't have to be a terribly long review. It just has to be like, oh, this is what I think about the podcast. These guys are awesome. These guys are horrible. Whatever you want to say, we're more than willing to take any praise or abuse you would like to dish upon us.
And give us a star rating.
And then
just let us know and tell us what film you want us to review. But keep in mind, it has to be one that's on Netflix streaming at that time.
Absolutely.
So that's...
Unfortunately, I don't think this film is ever leaving Netflix streaming.
No, it's going to be there forever. So Matt Shahusky had done this. He did the review and the star rating and said, here's what I want done. So he wanted done High School Musical 2 because we had done the first. Now, okay, first of all, I'll read the review that Matt left us on iTunes. It was a very nice review.
Okay.
He said, these guys are great at what they do, the Ebert and Roper of this generation.
Wow, that's laying it on thick, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Three cheers for Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night. That is laying it on thick, but we appreciate that because people who check it out later will be like, oh man, they're the Ebert and Roper of this generation. And then they listen and they're disappointed, but whatever.
Well, you know what? Even if they're disappointed that we're not Ebert and Roper with thumbs up and thumbs down,
yeah.
I hope they at least enjoy it enough to listen again.
I think we have good enough conversation and flow to the conversation that people can enjoy it. But I will have to admit, I had a slight role in this situation.
Yeah, you sit right across from him at work, don't you?
Yeah, Matt is a coworker, and he knows about the podcast, and he knew that we had done High School Musical, and I had told him how funny it was because on one of our recordings, Jordan had said that we should do sequels, if there are sequels for anything, and how I said, oh, well, that means we gotta do High School Musical 2 and 3. And so Matt was basically like, oh, you have to make that happen, that'd be hilarious. And I said, well, I can't necessarily make it happen, but what you can do to force it on Jordan is this. So I told him what to do to make sure that we had to follow the rules and review it. So, kind of my fault, but...
I hate you, Carl.
Yeah, I just thought it would be funny, and it will be.
Let me just put it this way. My girlfriend Jackie said this morning while I was watching the film, friends don't make friends, watch High School Musical 2.
Not as bad as the first one, in my opinion.
Well, okay. It depends on how you define bad. Why don't we just go ahead and read the Netflix summary and just get this party started the proper Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night way.
Right. Oh, and so you know it's from 2007.
2007, yes. And again, this one is a made-for-TV movie, not an actual cinematic release.
Just like the first one, made-for-TV.
So the Netflix summary. As part of a plan to steal Troy Bolton away from Gabriela Montez, a scheming debutante arranges summer jobs for them at an exclusive country club.
Ooh.
And it was pretty much everybody who was involved in the first one was involved in the second one.
I'm going to be honest. When I sat down and started watching it, I was pretty surprised that the entire cast was back.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it was just a year later.
Yeah.
Like, they did the original in 2006, and then they in 2007. So I was like, Well, that kind of makes sense.
It does. It makes sense. They were in the same place in life where they could do it. And also, probably a lot of those younger actors have signed deals with Disney to appear in pretty much anything.
Right.
So they've probably done a whole host of these TV movies and things like that.
At that point, Disney owned Zac Efron's soul.
I think they still do in some parts.
They could.
They've only let him out.
They never gave him the whole thing back.
No, never. Never.
Like, here's half of it. You can come back for the other half when you're about to die.
Yeah. And then poor Vanessa Hudgens has been running from her Disney girl image for so long.
Yeah, well.
It's a little sad to see, actually. But anyway, like we mentioned, Zac Efron came back to play Troy Bolton. Vanessa Hudgens came back to play Gabriella Montez. No surprise there. These were their roles that actually kind of made them quote-unquote big.
Right.
So... Ashley Tisdale returned to play Sharpay, and Lucas Gabriel returned to play her brother, Ryan. Right. And actually, I found myself rooting for Ryan a lot in this movie.
But that's intentional.
It is.
I mean, that
it
was
is. It's completely
writing.
It's completely fabricated, but please let me at least enjoy one piece of this movie. Just one piece.
I think there were some things that you could... I wouldn't necessarily, as an adult, say enjoy, but aren't as annoying. But I see why kids like the film. I mean, it makes sense. It fits.
Well, it follows the plot. It follows the A, then B, then C, then D plot.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, it was directed again by Kenny Ortega, who
directed
High School Musical. So if you want to know all the other stuff that they've been in, just go listen to our review of High School Musical,
which I thought was pretty funny. Actually, we made a lot of jokes out of it, and it'll probably be the same for this one.
Yes, 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 indeed. So it ends actually with the same musical number that ended the first one, the summer song one.
Okay.
And then it picks up like immediately after that, you know, which I thought was an interesting twist, a little bit clever, because chronologically, these movies are happening back to back. Like, one's happening in the school year, and then the next one is happening in the summertime. And what's interesting about that, though, is that High School Musical, because it was happening over a school year rather than a summer, had a lot more time that it was covering in the episode. So you got some more montages of things that were happening. You saw some more... you saw different seasons in the movie. To be fair, it did seem like it was starting, if I remember correctly, the film started with them, with Troy and Gabriella meeting at a winter lodge.
Which made
no
sense.
So it was
it was
around
real
Christmas
bad.
Time, but it was, much more sense to end this with them going off for summer.
Well, and I assumed that it was going to be, first of all, I assumed it would probably be different actors. But then... I was surprised by that, but then I also kind of thought that it would be, you know, still at school.
Oh, so you mean you thought it was going to be, like, a sequel in name only?
Right, and it would be, like, covering different people, basically, but the same school. You know, it was still High School Musical inside the high school.
Right.
But
so kind of like White Noise 2.
No, I haven't seen either of the White Noise movies, but I heard they're not good.
I saw White Noise 2. It was all right.
I didn't see either. Probably won't either.
Okay. But they basically now have all summer to be free and enjoy themselves and start thinking about love and partying and...
Continue to think about love, really.
But... Yeah, really. There's no real difference there.
Well, I did, real quick, have some other interesting bits of info about the film itself.
Okay.
The budget for it was $7 million, which is kind of crazy for a made-for-TV movie, in my opinion. Although I will say that in comparison from 1 to 2, the production value skyrocketed for the second one.
Yeah, well,
It didn't look like it was made-for-TV.
No, it looked better than a made-for-TV movie, but I think they realized that the success of the first one just gave them a lot bigger budget to work with. And also, I think a lot of the budget changes went into the set, because
The sets were significantly more elaborate.
Yeah,
yeah. They looked good. The sets looked very good.
It looked like a very nice resort to stay in.
Oh,
that's
very
sure.
Nice resort. So the debut airing of this this made-for-TV movie, drew in 17.2 million viewers.
17.2 is a that's a phenomenal success on the Nielsen ratings.
It's crazy.
Scale.
Which that was about 10 million more viewers than for the first one.
Well, let's think about it this way. Like, your standard Nielsen hit is around a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
Like, a show is considered to be unacceptable if you're getting about 4 million viewers. So to have 17 million viewers is a phenomenal number, especially for a cable network, especially for a children's cable network.
Yeah, it's huge. It was the highest rated Disney Channel movie ever. Ever. It was the most watched basic cable telecast ever at its time. And it beat out an ESPN Monday Night Football game between the Giants and Cowboys. Isn't that funny? That's crazy.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. This one, much like the first one, was then adapted to theatrical play at some schools.
Oh, God.
Right. It won the So Hot Right Now award at the Nickelodeon Australian Kids' Choice Awards in 2007.
So wait, Nickelodeon Australia said, hey, we'd like a show from one of our biggest competitors.
Yes. It won an award there.
Okay.
The So Hot Right Now.
That's so hot.
So hot right now.
So hot.
And then they also, after they showed High School Musical 2, then aired a sing-along version of the film, which I bet parents were damning.
No, I would imagine that any parent would be thrilled to have a sing-along version of High School Musical 2.
No, not at all.
Can they get it on DVD?
Yes, they can.
Yes! Now I know what I'm going to get for Christmas.
The thing is,
for all of my family members,
this film was huge.
Yes.
As far as TV-made films go, it was massive. And the guy who wrote it, his name's Peter Barsaccini.
Barsaccini.
And he also, Jordan, you would love to know, he also penned the film Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
You know what? I was actually looking at that on Netflix. I'm like, oh, were. Look, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. I bet it's fabulous.
Just like the name says.
Just like the name says. In pink sparkles. It was so amazing looking.
It was. I will have to do that one. Maybe Matt will give us another review.
I'm about to dump this cup of water over my recorder.
Yeah. Break it.
Break it. Break it now. Stop it.
Okay, so in the actual film, I will say this. I already said the production value was greatly increased. It looked a lot better. It definitely felt more finished.
Yeah.
Significantly more polished.
There were a lot more songs in this one, too.
A lot more songs. The songs were way better constructed.
Yeah.
As far as the actual musical component, but also the lyrics weren't as simplistic and stupid as in the first one.
Yeah.
So they really stepped it up there. And they had a lot more dancing that was going on, and they did, like, break dancing.
They did.
Which they didn't really have in the first one. Everything was more complex.
Yeah, there was a lot more. There was a lot more time put into the choreography. There was a lot more time put into the music. One of the things I had a couple of things that I need to talk about with the music, just in general.
Yeah, go ahead.
First off, in several of the musical numbers, you could actually see that they had musicians working on screen to play the music. Now, obviously, everything was dubbed over.
Right.
But there were actual musicians there on screen that were representing the sounds that you hear, which is a fantastic choice. If you're going to do something about a musical with a talent show, you know, it's always great to see musicians on stage rather than just hearing the music appear, like, just magically appear out of nowhere. Right. I mean, I can understand in the context of the story that there's probably a recording that they're working with. But it's always good, in my opinion, just to see musicians actually doing something on screen.
Right. Well, one of the things that I wrote down that ties into this is I had written that I see that Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens still have no idea how to convincingly lip sync.
They do not.
Like, you...
They do not.
Just watching the way their voices, like, the way their mouths were moving and their facial expressions with the song was not matching the inflection and the notes that would need to be hit. Like, their faces looked so flat in comparison. Like, they were just kind of, like, talking it instead of actually singing it. Yeah, it looked bad.
But here's the question. Is that really the fault of the actors?
Yes.
Or is that the fault of the director?
Both. Because the actors should know that they need to do it better. And ultimately, it's more of the director's fault because he should recognize it's not being done the way it should be done. Say, hey, we need, you know, coach him on that and say, we need another take.
And there are professionals who can coach you on how to do that. Now, at the same time, like how I mentioned that they had like a guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, the whole nine yards for some of the performance. Other musical performances that they did on the show, they had a full score going on and just a pianist. You know, so...
A pianist?
A pianist, yes. That's the proper pronunciation. Just like how you say for someone who plays the flute, you don't say flute player, you say flautist. So, there you go. Your musical knowledge of the day. So, you know, you've got the girl who plays the piano, the hat girl, as I was thinking of her.
Yeah, she was, I forget her last name, her full name, but I think her last name was Rule.
I don't know.
But she was a decent actress,
you know,
actually.
What? She was probably the best actor in the movie.
Definitely.
And also the most, of all the, like, the minor characters, probably the one who was most interesting.
Realistic?
Interesting from a character perspective.
Yeah, like, that's true. Less idiotic
than
the others.
Yeah.
But that's kind of... Those are kids anyway. Like, pretty idiotic, right?
Yeah. Well,
speaking of which, when I started to watch it, I was like, oh, man, it's good to see that Sharpay's still a bitch. She hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah, some things don't change.
She hasn't changed a bit. Like, she is the hyper, hyper-exaggerated bitchy girl.
Well, I think she's, like, the age-appropriate stereotype from Mean Girls.
Okay.
You know, like, have you seen that Lindsay Lohan
yes.
movie?
Yes, it's been a long time, but yeah I did see it.
My girlfriend made sure that I saw it. That was kind of in the relationship contract, you must watch Mean Girls.
It's not a bad movie.
No, it's not, except for someone who was homeschooled trying to understand public school jokes.
That's right. I forget all the time that you were homeschooled.
Yeah, I know. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But...
Well, this is why it's a good thing you're watching the High School Musicals, so you can understand better what you missed.
What I dodged the bullet for? Yes.
You never met those Sharpays, you know? Like, you did miss out on basketball with your dad.
We had a basketball hoop. And actually, I was on a basketball team.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
In your backyard?
No, we actually had a basketball with a full court and team, and we would play local high schools, and we were horrible.
I'm sure.
No, but you know, the public school experience is something that you do get from this movie, and I think a lot of kids can relate to that, you know, but when you think about the age range that the movie is shooting for, which is late elementary school, early middle school, they glamorize high school so much.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know?
Because they don't want to send a downer message. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what Disney does. Since when has Disney come out and been like, oh, here's real life to smack you in the face, kids? No, Disney's brand is all about feel good, be happy, everything's wonderful.
Well, I mean, there's some very deep moments in Disney movies. Like,
right.
The Lion King is a very dark movie.
Bambi?
Bambi is another dark movie.
But in the end,
everything is happy.
Good. Right.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing. It's always going to be happy in the end. That's just the way it is.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, but at least Simba's, like, struggle is a little bit more compelling than Troy's struggle to keep his girlfriend and make sure all his friends remember that he's a real cool guy.
He just wants everyone to think he's a cool guy.
Well, that's pretty much it, though. That's what this movie is about.
He's going to go to college and be what some people call a dude bro.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, bro, what's up, man? Oh, you want to party? You want to slam these beers? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a dude bro when he goes to college. I want to see that.
Yeah.
College Musical starring Zac Efron.
Albuquerque. You know, the great thing is, now that it's running through my head, what if, because they're both based in Albuquerque, what if High School Musical and Breaking Bad are in the same universe.
I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh man, you should watch it.
I know. I'm getting there. Oh. I will get there.
And Walter White is a teacher at that high school.
I'm going to be honest, I think we're on to something with doing like College Musical. But if they make it like raunchy and like age appropriate, you know what I mean? Like make it crude.
I was going to say like that would be similar to American Pie, but
a musical American Pie, basically.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. People would actually like that.
Oh, I mean, there is no such thing. Well, there are good raunchy musicals.
Yeah.
You know, like for one of my favorite musicals of all time, and I might have mentioned
I know where you're going.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I knew that's where you're going.
Well, I mean, I'm the kind of guy who likes to go to the midnight showings and, you know, jump up and yell profanity at the screen and everything like that. So
I've still not seen it. Oh, I will eventually.
But the thing is you watch a musical like that where there's good music, it's a lot of fun entertainment. The thing is with musicals, a lot of musicals, the plot isn't really there. You know,
right.
It's just because the plot in a musical is not there to really be a plot in and of itself. It's just a vehicle to get from one song to another.
Basically.
Yeah. And and really a lot of times the music makes or breaks this.
And which I will say the music was very strong for High School Musical 2. It was catchy.
It was age-appropriate.
It was well constructed in my opinion. Certainly better, much better in comparison to the first one. Significantly more polished and stronger. I mean,
did you have any favorite songs from High School Musical 2?
I don't remember a single one. Obviously I just said
they were catchy, they were well constructed. I don't remember a single one.
I mean, not catchy for me because I don't care about them, but you know, catchy for kids, for their demographic they're trying to get to, you know.
Oh, that made my day. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. One of the things I wanted to point out too, I noticed I was like, Sharpay's a bitch. Good to see that still going on.
I liked her arm dog, by the way.
Yeah. And honestly, Ashley Tisdale does a good job. She's a good actress.
Her acting chops for what they're asking her to do,
they're
spot on.
They're
spot
getting on. Right on. Also the brother. He does it what he's
Lucas Gabriel. His acting actually did impress me quite a bit in
this
movie.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
But I saw, you know, Sharpay's still a bitch. That's good to know. And Troy's dad's still a damn idiot.
Okay, so Troy's dad.
An idiot. He's so dumb.
Complete tool.
Yeah. And the biggest thing to me was he started a game of basketball in his kitchen.
Yeah.
And obviously his wife walks in and is like, no, we don't do this. It's like, he's a man-child.
Well,
he is the worst man-child.
That's the television stereotype of men, though, is that, you know, everybody...
Disney Channel, especially.
Disney Channel, and, like, with ABC, I mean, like, you look at some of what are considered to be classic sitcoms from Disney-owned ABC, and the father role in that show, they're buffoons.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not considered to be serious people at all, which is understandable because a lot of guys are very, very childish in a lot of ways. And dear Lord, let's hope that there's just a world of man children running around rather than people who are actually abusive towards their families. Yeah.
But in this film, he was like he's not even in there that much, but he's so idiotic that I was expecting that while he was there with the kids, he'd start trying to give swirlies and nut tapping to people.
Oh. Well, you know, and the thing that got to me was that I can understand a parent visiting a college with your kids on an academic visit. My parents did that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what I don't get is that he's visiting not as a parent, but as his son's high school coach. You know, that's a conflict of interest right there.
Whatever. It doesn't need to make sense, I don't think. I'm kind of surprised he didn't try to, like, move in.
Yeah, like, say, okay, son, we're going to be dorm mates now.
We're going to college.
We're going to college.
I thought I'm going to college. Well, Dad, no, I'm coming with you because I want to live your life because mine sucks.
But, Dad, I'm not even done with high school yet. I don't care. We're going to college.
Yeah. There's a movie idea for you. see the man-child that is Troy's father.
Oh, God.
And what he does in his life. That'd be funny.
I don't even want to say it because some images just went through my mind, and he probably lives a very horrible, nihilistic life that nobody knows about.
Do you think maybe he's like Patrick Swayze's character in Donnie Darko?
Oh.
With the kitty porn dungeon?
That's possible. That's what I was thinking, yes.
That's possible.
Yeah. That's very much what
this
I was
thinking. This is dark. It's got dark. That's okay. I'm cool with that, though.
Okay.
We're good. One of the things I want to point out, obviously, there's a lot of stereotypes. That's what they do with these things.
Yeah.
The biggest one to me was like, of course. When they were giving people their jobs at this resort.
Yes.
And, of course, the heavy chick is a cook.
Of course.
Of course.
I'm a fantastic cook.
It's just, it's so dumb to me. It's just like, it's like they were trying to figure out, they're writing the script and they're like, yes, and then someone's got to be the cook. Oh, yeah, fat chick. Yep, check.
But you know what? She was actually in the first movie, and she had that fantastic line in one of the songs about really making people understand who she was, even though she was obese.
Yes.
And then they like,
so then in the second one, they're like,
right into the restaurant.
Yeah. In the second one, we're like, okay, everything you did in the first one is undone. Nobody cares. You're just a fat chick now.
Yay! But you know what? She was dancing with Ryan at the end. So
well,
she gets
yeah,
the really classy, preppy sure. guy at the end.
Which, by the way, with the dancing, I'm going to assume that all these choreographed dance numbers would get you fired from your job. Because there were so many times when they're supposed to be working, but they're doing choreographed dance numbers. Which, by the way, it's kind of funny. That makes me think of South Park did an episode making fun of the High School Musicals.
Oh, God.
And if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's hilarious. The kids would like be at school, and then they'd just break into choreographed song and dance. And the people who hadn't seen High School Musical are like, what the hell are they doing?
What are you doing?
But then they would be like, did you guys practice this? And they're like, no, it just happens. But it's just like so choreographed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's funny. Trust me. Everybody seek out that episode of South Park. It's hilarious.
Well, another thing that I thought was thinking about going back to Troy's dad for a bit. You know how we were talking that he's trying to kind of live vicariously through Troy. It's because Troy is obnoxiously competent at everything.
That's true.
You know?
He is the man at everything.
He can sing. He plays basketball. He knows how to golf caddy like a pro, giving millionaires advice on how to make their shots.
And when he gets to college, he can slam that beer, bro.
Exactly. And you know what? Even before he gets to his senior year of high school, he's already got the girls fighting all over him.
I'll tell you what he's not good at, though. Wearing friggin' pants that fit. Because there are so many times in this film where you see his boxers. Like, legitimately, his pants are coming down. It's ridiculous. Who did costume for this?
It's his style, though.
But I didn't know if he was trying to wear them so they were, like, below his ass or what. But I was seeing his boxers in it, and I'm like, this is not appropriate. Like, at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, in reality, it isn't appropriate, but it is an actual quote-unquote fashion choice that are being made.
At the risk of sounding like an old man, pull your damn pants up. You know what I mean?
Carolyn, you're only in your 30s, and you're telling the punks to pull up their pants? Now, when are you going to, like, lean out your window and yell at somebody to get off your yard?
These damn kids with their boom boxes and their sagging pants and their Zac Efrons and their slap bracelets. I could just go on and on.
Are we doing a review, or are we doing a comedy roast?
I don't know, but, see, and this is why I like these episodes, because I feel like it's kind of an excuse to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because the movie's kind of ridiculous. For grown-ups, that is.
It is. And I mean, honestly, if I was a grown-up and I was like a manager at a resort, I felt so sorry for the manager at the resort because he seemed like...
He's in the worst spot.
Yeah, he seemed like a guy who basically was having his job held in the hands of a Prada-loving high school girl.
Well, let's call it what it is. His testicles were in a box.
They were.
I mean, he was being told what to do at every step.
And Sharpie had a pink sequined hammer that she was going to slam into them.
She's
going to
whack him. It's like, don't you upset me.
No.
I'll tell my parents.
And they're on the board of this place.
Yeah.
Her parents actually seemed pretty chill, though, all things considered.
Yeah, they didn't seem like terrible people. No. A little nasty, hoity-toity, though.
Well, but, yeah, but, I mean, they're wasps. What do you expect?
Well, and which leads me to something else I had written down. At least this film teaches kids to properly hate rich people. That was a good thing that comes out of this film.
Well, don't you think it's reinforcing a bit of a stereotype, though?
Yeah, but let's be honest. Rich people are pretty shitty. I mean, aren't they? Aren't they?
I don't know. I haven't met a lot of really rich people.
They're usually not very good. I mean, it's all about me, 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 you know. And that is typically a stereotype. And I do know of, I don't personally know, but know of some people. Well, actually, I do personally know at least two people, actually, who are rich.
Yeah.
But they are, like, good, nice people. But it's kind of few and far between because once there's that much of a separation from the rest of any humanity in general, you start getting people who act entitled and they just feel like rules don't apply. And you hear about that all the time.
Basically, you get Sharpay and Ryan.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about Ryan, which I was going to say later, but it's perfect right now, is that he changes totally in the film, which is really interesting, too, because once he changes and becomes a focus as, like, oh, he's not bad anymore because he was just being kept under thumb by his sister.
Right.
Which I didn't see any of, like, the sexual tension between
them. Yeah, no, that was, thankfully, they toned that down.
Yeah, I was expecting it, though. I was, like, thinking, oh, here we go, the Sharpay Ryan bang session's coming in number two, but it just didn't happen. Not like I was excited for it. I was just saying, I feel like they were going to ramp it up to that level where you expected it was going to happen. And ridiculous. But no, they actually were smart and they, like, stepped it back.
They pulled that back, thankfully.
Yeah, they definitely did. They pulled it out.
But, you know, the thing about Ryan is that he seemed like a legitimately nice guy.
Yeah.
Who was in the shadow of someone who he liked and appreciated, but didn't understand that everybody else thought was a jerk.
Well, he was a follower. Yeah. You know, he was always a follower. And the interesting thing to me is he was an idiot. He was always an idiot, like this goofy, over-the-top idiot, until Sharpay sheds him, and he's kind of like, oh.
Oh, wait, and she didn't need me at all in the first place.
Right. As soon as he becomes the focus as being a good guy now, he's smarter all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's more intelligent and is more understandable, which I think is kind of ridiculous because someone is who they are, no matter what. You know, like, just because they change their alignment, basically, like, I'm kind of evil, but now I'm good, doesn't increase their intelligence. And that's what happens in the film. I just don't think it's very, like, true to...
It's not true to life. I think the thing is, though, that people do change over time. You know, I feel like I was
one day. Yeah, one day is basically how it is for Ryan.
Yeah, again, High School Musical is High School Musical.
Yeah.
Things are compressed and shuttered around and fitted according to the Disney time frame. So, you know, it just takes one bad realization for him to realize, oh yeah, my sister is really not someone I want to hang out with. And he goes off and does his own thing. But, you know, for me, that was something that was I could identify with because one of my sisters is a very smart individual, but she always overshadowed me as a person when I was younger. So to see another person who's like, oh, yeah, I don't really need this sibling that everybody thinks I'm attached to the hip with.
Right.
You know,
you can get your own identity.
Yeah, that was something that I thought was good and really gave me, from a personal perspective, a lot more liking of Ryan as a character than even, like, his going over to the other side and saying, hey, let's play baseball and let's help you out with the talent show and everything like that.
Which, by the way, I was looking at my notes and I saw something about the baseball game. And that jogged my memory. I think that might have been my favorite song.
Yeah.
Was the baseball one. And not only was that song well constructed, but I thought the choreography was very clever for that whole scene of actually having a dance sequence and song while you're having a baseball game.
Yeah.
It seems very hard to do conceptually.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off very well, in my opinion.
Well, and they did a good job of making sure that everybody was on time and on rhythm,
yeah,
which is really tough to do. And I liked that they were using the actual physical accoutrements of a baseball game as props. Like, they were using the baseball bats to, like, as, like, stages to dance with and stuff like that. Although, I will say that when you looked at their, like, the hands of the people who are going to bat, none of them knew how to actually hold a baseball bat properly. Wow. They were all choked up.
They were more concerned about the singing and dancing.
So, yeah, I mean, there are things that the director needs to get proper.
But there's something that happened at the end of that scene, that song in the baseball game, that I was like, it was a WTF moment for me. I was like, what just happened? How and why did Ryan and Chad switch clothes? Did you notice that? They were wearing each other's clothes.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the game. They completely switched. And, like, Chad was wearing his hat and his
thing. Shirts.
And, yeah.
The shirts were, like,
they were wearing different shirts.
I couldn't, it was showing, it wasn't showing a below the waist. I don't know if they were wearing each other's pants and underwear, but.
That was a weird thing.
They had to at least take their shirts off and be shirtless for a while in order to exchange them. And the thing for me was, like, at first I was like, whoa, what the hell just happened? And I'm like, this could have very screwed up implications.
Yeah.
But also,
well, you know what they say about baseball.
The other thing is, why would you even do it? Like, it's dumb. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense from a personal perspective, but from a film perspective, it shows, it's a good visual reminder that these people have put their animosity aside.
I guess.
You know, you said it doesn't really work, but that's okay, because it's a musical.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty much the same type of thing.
And how many kids are actually going to question that? You know, they're probably more just going to see it and be like, oh, that's funny.
You know, they're going to be like, oh, look, he's wearing his hat. Because Ryan wears a different hat in every scene of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I want to indulge in some kind of philosophical talk related to High School Musical 2. Here's the thing. What is the likelihood that Troy and Gabriella stay together long term? What's the really the likelihood?
The statistical
of that
likelihood is low,
very low.
But I know, like, my parents got married when my mom was a senior in high school.
Yeah,
you know, so there are those couples who do stay together long term, but they're very few and far between, especially now.
So what I want to say about this is, why couldn't Troy be smarter and just say, you know what, this probably isn't going to work out long term, might as well play Sharpay so that I can get that scholarship, get all sorts of awesome perks, and get set up basically for life, and then once I have what I want, just be done with her and move on. I mean, he's a good looking guy, he's got everything going for him, everybody wants him, he can get to where he wants to be and then dump the bitch.
A high school relationship only lasts 6 to 9 months at most?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if he were smarter, or his dad were smarter and talked to him,
yeah,
he might do that.
But then the thing is one of the big plot points of the movie is that everybody believes that Troy is becoming a different person, that he's sacrificing his values so that he can do exactly what you say, get the scholarship, get the college, get into the nice basketball group, you know, have all the things that he wants. But he also wants to have all of his friends, and he wants to have them dance to his schedule. No problem.
They have an actual schedule, and they're all right, sequence at 2 o'clock.
4 o'clock, we're doing the samba. At 8:35, we're going to do a quick cha-cha. And then at 7:15 tomorrow morning, I'm going to need you all to be ready to pop some locks.
Pop lock and then drop it, please.
That's right.
Because that's how we do it.
Like it's hot.
One of the things about this film that kind of, you know, brought up for me was that your actual friends are usually having more fun than your fake friends. You know what I mean?
Well, nobody really was actually Sharpay's friend. She didn't have friends. She had sycophants.
She still doesn't have friends.
No. No.
But maybe in Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, she gets a friend.
She doesn't need friends. She has a Broadway career.
She has money instead.
All my friends are green. Green with envy. Yeah. That they're with me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, my gosh.
And another question for you, not philosophical. Who has a staff talent show at a ritzy resort?
I've never been to a ritzy resort, so I couldn't tell. Well, I mean it didn't make a lot of sense logically.
No, it's like... Of course, why wouldn't you have a staff talent show at a ritzy resort where people are pissed off if you bring them a burger that's not at the proper temperature? You know what I mean? Like...
And please remember that I ordered my hamburger with Swiss cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Troy. DB, yeah. Troy. But the thing is, like, here they are, and it's obvious that it's a very stuffy clientele for this resort, you know? So my thought is, along those lines, if they see them having, like, a talent show, they're like, what is this riffraff allowed to be doing this for? This is disgusting.
And it wasn't just the staff that was in the talent show. This was a talent show that was made up of the staff members and the guests, which is a pretty revolutionary thing when you think about it. It's something where you wouldn't think that these people would interact with each other on any level other than the servant-client relationship. Right. You know, so the fact that they had that, I don't know if it could be seen as progressive or just to move the story along and make sure that everybody's dreams get crushed in the end.
Of course it's just for the story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, we're not talking about like high-class writing here. It's not sophisticated. It's straightforward because it's for kids.
Are you sure the writing's not high class? Because I thought it was.
I'm sure you thought it was.
You know, well, I have been known to watch my fair share of, like, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, too, so.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that, and I don't think I ever would.
I have a 10-year-old sister who loves animals. Okay. I see a lot of things.
Well, I guess that makes sense, then. You have an excuse.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I have seen a lot of Milo and Otis.
Oh, well, I watched that when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, yeah. I watched
those
it a lot
those
as
are
a kid.
Older films.
I watched it a lot as a kid, and then a lot as an adult.
How's that working out for you?
Well, I'm still scarred by kitten childbirth.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Gabriella, because
you mean non-existent.
Yeah,
Gabriella.
Well, yeah, non-existent Gabriella.
She didn't even matter. It's like it's the Zac Efron show.
It was really all about how good Troy was. Vanessa Hudgens, she must have had a huge slash in her like salary for this movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Because
she wasn't on screen nearly as much as you would think she would be.
No, she wasn't, and she didn't. Basically, her entire interaction to this movie was trying to get Troy to notice her.
Yeah.
High School Musical 2 fails the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, I think maybe she had less because they realized from the first one that her acting is not very good.
No, it's not. It's not. But it is. It was her franchise. You know, I felt like the focus of the first movie was more
on her than it was
on Troy.
Well, so then it was Troy's turn.
It is Troy's turn. Whose turn is it next? Chad's?
But the other thing is this. Who's the majority of the fan base for something like a High School Musical?
I would imagine it would be a female.
Most likely female, correct. So who are you going to push for the second one? You're going to push your teen heartthrob, Zac Efron, not properly wearing pants.
Do you remember, well, it was long before our times, but do you remember ever hearing, like, your parents or grandparents talking about how, like, James Dean was the amazing American teenage heartthrob?
No, I mean, not my parents or anyone I knew, but I've heard it, like, through shows and other people, I guess.
And he was a bit of a unsophisticated guy, but, you know, he had a certain amount of je ne sais quoi about him that was mysterious and everything like that. What can Zac Efron do? Wear pants funny and pretend to sing? Poorly pretend to sing. Yeah, he's just like Justin Timberlake, so hey.
No, I actually wouldn't even go that far. I think Justin Timberlake's actually a pretty cool dude.
Well, no, I'm saying that they're both Disney stars.
That's true. They are both Disney stars, but Well, and the thing is, Zac Efron's still pretty young, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I know we had talked about in the first review that he has been trying to distance himself from the Disney thing, and he's started doing more comedy, like raunchy comedy roles.
Yeah, and there was the one that he did with McConaughey that got a lot of attention. Paperboy, I think it was called.
Is that based on the Game Boy game?
I don't think it was, no.
That's a joke, Jordan.
Oh,
Paperboy was just like, you would just like control this guy pedaling throwing papers.
My favorite Game Boy game was always Tetris.
Oh, well, Tetris is a classic, of course.
Do, 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 do.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe if they had that song in High School Musical 2, you would have enjoyed it.
You know what? I would have loved a full-on Soviet invasion in High School Musical 2. That movie, that would be fantastic. Like, all of a sudden, like...
Nice.
Like, you have Soviets just running through the middle of resort town New Mexico.
So what you're asking for is a fusion between High School Musical and Red Dawn.
I would love that. That
Wolverines, here to save the day. A musical version of Red Dawn, basically. But with more High School Musical, too.
That would be amazing. I would watch...
Look, here's the thing. During this episode, we're coming up with so much gold.
Gold.
Just if anyone in Hollywood would listen to this, they could just be taking notes just like, well, that's a blockbuster. Well, that's a blockbuster.
See, this is the thing, is that the musical is a legitimate form of cinematic entertainment. But if we're... Except we've relegated it to children and... You know,
the elderly.
And the elderly. It's not something that they make musicals for on a regular basis to try and entertain the masses anymore. You know, and...
I mean, on Broadway, because Broadway's always big.
Right, Broadway always works out well, but Broadway, again, is a very exclusivistic kind of entertainment.
It is more for, like, the upper middle class to upper class.
At the very least. I mean, I was looking at tickets for Wicked, and they're, like, $140 here in Baltimore. And it's like, I would like to go, but I don't think I can swing that.
Right. I know someone who just recently went to Broadway and saw Hedwig in the Angry Inch and said that was awesome.
I bet it was.
I know Sweeney Todd's been on Broadway before, and it's really good. You know, they did, obviously, a film version of that.
But of course, that takes Tim Burton, who's known for doing things that are outside of Hollywood norms, to make a movie of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, so, and honestly, I think Sweeney Todd was the last major motion picture musical that I can remember.
Yeah, you might be right. Unless Mamma Mia was after it, because Mamma Mia was
pretty big, and I mean there have been some musicals that have been released in the indie market that have been good, and in fact I'd like to watch a few of those.
Repo the Genetic Opera. Not like crazy awesome, but good enough.
It was good enough to get a major motion picture release and actually show in standard theaters, not just art house theaters, which was pretty amazing if all things considered.
There are some really good songs in that film as well. Terrence Sadunik is the one who wrote it, and he did a lot of the music and he did the screenplay for it, but he also did a follow-up, Devil's Carnival. Not so good.
Yeah.
There are, like, maybe two good songs in the Devil's Carnival.
You said one,
but overall, just not. Oh, yeah, and that was the thing. The best song was just credits. It was, like, an extra. And I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, so that one was kind of a miss, in my opinion. You can skip the Devil's Carnival, but Repo Genetic Opera is worth seeing at least once, in my opinion, for the music. The story's not the most amazing, but...
You know, I think one of the things that I did want to mention about High School Musical in an area that it didn't do as well... I mean, like we said, there have been some improvements in terms of the music and the choreography and the sets and everything like that. But one thing that it didn't do very well was take into account that a lot of times family entertainment means parents are sitting down with their children to watch a movie.
True.
And this movie had nothing
for parents
or people whose quote-unquote friends make them watch this movie.
But at the same time, you know, this movie is geared toward kids being able to watch it themselves. You know, because it's like middle school, high school is what they're shooting for, so they should be able to watch this. And when this is, what, PG, I'm sure.
I think it's TVY7, if I remember
correctly. Oh, that's right, because it's not an actual, like, theatrical release film. That's right. Yeah, so it's, you know, like, I think it was supposed to be able to be watched without the rest of the family. So.
Which I can understand on repeat watches, but the first time with the 17 million Nielsen rating, that means a 17 Nielsen rating, that means that the entire family was getting around that tube.
Yeah. Well, you have to, and I don't think we talked about this in our review of the first one, you have to think that the High School Musicals kicked off that very popular show Glee, basically. I mean, it laid the groundwork for someone to say, hey, are interested in this.
Yeah.
And Glee's huge. I know a lot of adults that love Glee.
You know what?
And it is High School Musical,
and
basically.
And that's making me eat my words about major motion picture musicals, because, like you say, Glee is a perfect example of a mainstream musical that saw a lot of success. Is it still on the air, or was it?
I think it's still on the air. I might be wrong. I think it's about to be done soon. But it's been going for a while.
Isn't the new show Gallivant a musical as well?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but so there are things out there that are meeting that musical.
But the smart thing that Glee has done is they use popular music.
They do.
Which, everybody wants to hear popular music. Yeah. Everybody wants to hear stuff they already know. It's just like when you go to see a band, you don't want to hear them play something that they did on their own.
Yeah.
You want to hear what you already know. Or, like, say you go to see, you know, an established band, and they're just about to put out a new album, or they just put out a new album. You want to hear the old stuff, because that's what you know.
Yeah, but you still want to hear some of the new tracks. I always like
to don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. Oh, my. Because I'll get the album.
But I always liked hearing, I like seeing how music is performed. Like,
yeah.
How it's.
But if you don't know what it is, the thing is, you need to, for me, you better enjoy music if you're familiar with it. Because the first time you hear it, you're trying to digest it and decide if you like it or not. So you can't, like, enjoy it. You can't really, like, lose yourself in it the way you can something you're familiar with. And just think of that feeling when you're at a concert and a song you really love, they starts playing, and you recognize it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to love it. The experience is so much higher for you.
But there have been plenty of times when I've walked off the stage after hearing the opening band that nobody's heard of, and I've went and bought their album because I've liked the music.
Well, that's good.
So, I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
But I do always enjoy hearing something that's coming up new, because by the time that the band has hit your area, then the radio station that's setting up the concert probably has already played their newest single into the ground. So you should be familiar with it already if you're paying attention to music. Not to devolve this completely into a musical discussion, but a lot of people don't like...
It makes sense, because it's a musical movie.
Right, you know? But I mean, like, I was thinking, a lot of people don't want to hear what the band did in their 1997 B-side of that indie thing that they did before they actually became a big band.
True.
You know, there is that aspect of it as well. Bands have... And to think about it this way, a lot of bands will write about 40 to 50 songs to put on an album before they even cut the album, and then whittle it down to the best 10 or best 12. And typically a lot of those songs are forgettable too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Unless you have, there have actually been some bands where they don't have enough songs.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, come up with songs last minute to throw on there. There have been a few like that. And in one case, I've been into heavy metal. I'm not as much into it now as I used to be, but there's a band called Mudvayne, and they did some of those last-minute songs, and they actually turned out really good.
Yeah, sometimes necessity is the mother of invention. Unfortunately, High School Musical suffers from, hey, we don't have necessity because we have so much money to throw at this. We're going to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the big pool scene at the end of the movie?
Like, I mean, it's the typical... Everybody comes together with a big musical song at the end, and, you know, everything's patched up and everything's good and we're all friends again, and Everybody celebrate, be happy, jump in the pool with your clothes on.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, it felt actually really tacked on to the movie because
it's like I was saying, you have to have it,
right,
you know?
Yeah, like, well, it felt like the movie had a natural ending right after the talent show. It felt good. It was quote-unquote satisfying for what it was. Right. And, you know, you're like, well, let's move on. And then they're like, time for another song, and it's going to be a pool party song. It's like,
well, because they have to have, like, the big blowout fun time.
And also they need to pad about 4 minutes more to make sure that they hit the top of the hour properly.
Here's the thing, though, for me. This film was too long.
It was. It was, like, almost 2 hours long?
It was, like, an hour and 40-some minutes, yeah, honestly. I think it was, like, an hour 45, maybe a little longer. But here's the thing. With films like this, you have to have it like an hour and a half. Like, that is the max, in my opinion, for these types of films.
And an hour and a half typically translates to about 2 hours once you feature in commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, this one may have run like 2.5 hours on air.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of parents weren't too excited. They're like, Mom, Dad, guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm tying up the TV with tonight?
What's that, Junior?
I'll be upstairs.
Yes, yes. Well, we're pretty close to the top of the hour. Real quickly, I wanted to say thank you once more to Mr. Shahusky.
Thank you, Matt. Do you really mean that when you say thank you, though? I feel like you don't. He's making a face, so he does not mean it. I do, though. Thank you, Matt. Because here's the thing. We got the review out of
it. We did get a review.
A very nice one.
I'm not going to turn down a 5-star review that compares us to Ebert and Roper.
Nope, exactly. So I feel like that makes up for watching High School Musical
2.
No,
but also...
Plus, I kind of wanted High School Musical 2 anyway, because I think it's funny and fun when we do these kind of crap. Well, not necessarily crappy for what it was supposed to be, but ones we don't like.
Yeah. And also, I think we came up with, like, our whole High School Musical cross with Red Dawn idea. It's just
unbelievable.
Brilliant.
Yeah, dude. Let's start penning that script. Let's do it.
I'll write the music. You outline the script.
I feel like you could sell that. There was a Spider-Man the Musical on Broadway.
There was.
I heard it was horrible, but, I mean, they did it.
And, you know, the crazy thing was, I think the music was done by Bono.
Oh, well, that's why it sucked.
I
hate you too, man. They should have been done. When they were good, they were good. And now they're friggin' terrible. I was going to say another F word. Now they're friggin' terrible, and they should stop. And they should have stopped, like, 10 years ago. I'm going to be honest. I haven't heard a single thing that's come out in the past 10 years or so from them that's been even halfway decent. It's all, like, rehashes of... It's real simplistic and crappy, but I'm going to get off my high horse now, because I hate you too.
Now that you've reviewed you too, how would you feel about giving your final assessment of High School Musical 2?
One last thing, though, I did want to say about the end that was like, what the hell? The lanterns, those lanterns, how is it that Gabriella and Troy's lanterns floated away when that's not the type of lanterns they are? And you can see everyone else is holding them, and they don't float.
Fishing wire.
It looked dumb. That's another thing. It was a bad choice because it looked stupid.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something like that, have it be like balloons or like something that actually would float away.
Like those little Asian lanterns that will float.
Yes, because it's really basically cool. The same thing, yeah. Except it'll legitimately float.
Except
you
those
idiots.
Were big and bulky and heavy looking.
Yeah, exactly. That would never. It wouldn't work. Anyway, okay. I'll go ahead and review.
Okay.
High School Musical 2. Obviously, they really stepped up production on this in comparison to the first one. They made it look more like a theatrical release film. Didn't look at all, in my opinion, like a made-for-TV film. Except, you know, the script is kind of, like, very stereotypical and not all that great, like, you know, that like you would assume.
Yeah.
For a made-for-TV movie. The music was significantly more grandiose. It was better put together. The lyrics were less simplistic. The dance moves were significantly more intricate. They had all the breakdancing. It was more flashy. They had more music. They had more dance scenes. They integrated them well, in my opinion. I felt like the story overall was fresher and more interesting than the first one, especially because it was a different setting. And speaking of the setting, the like we talked about, the, you know, the props they used and the sets were much better looking, more, they look more expensive, they look better put together, more finished. A lot of characters are still paper thin, as you would expect. There was some annoying stuff. The film was too long.
Very long.
But in my opinion, overall, it's... I base this off of who the demographic is, what the film they were trying to make is, and how that plays out. Now, I had given the first one 2 stars based on that. And so, based on that, and based on the fact of what it's supposed to be, I'm going to give High School Musical 2 3 stars. Because I think that they did a better than half job for what it was supposed to be.
Okay.
I have a feeling yours is going to be a little different.
Well, I mean, I think that there were some good things in it. Like I said, I thought Lucas Gabriel and Ashley Tisdale both did a fantastic job
yes.
with the roles that they were given.
And that's what you need, is for the bad guys to be very strong.
Yeah. And I felt like Zac Efron really didn't do that well, good of a job with it overall.
No.
His delivery was confused in a lot of places, especially during the singing, which is the point of the entire entertainment piece. Yeah. And Vanessa Hudgens was just not there. She was non-existent in this movie.
Maybe a good thing.
Probably a good thing. I mean, I felt like, you said, the script does get a little bit better, and I think that has to do with the more compressed time frame that they're working with in terms of the story they're trying to tell. But I do think that in terms of actual complexity of the story, I think a lot of other Disney movies, like especially the traditional motion pictures, do a much better job in telling an emotionally complex story in a way that children can understand.
Oh, yeah. This isn't emotionally complex at all.
No,
it's very on the surface.
Yeah, it's very much...
But let's be honest. Like we said, musicals are not really supposed to be... they're mainly about the songs and the dance routine.
That can be true, so. But then there are also other Disney musicals that have a story that's very complex and very compelling. Like the run from the late 80s, mid-90s with like Oliver and Company, The Little Mermaid... Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King, that's considered to be a revival of classical Disney work. And it's...
Right, but the way they were structured is they were supposed to be movies first.
Right.
With significant musical elements.
Right.
This was supposed to be music first, and that's the main idea, and then some story just to keep it moving.
Yeah, but I mean... Today,
is it smart? I don't know.
I don't...
Well, I mean, based on the viewership... It was smart.
Based on the viewership, it was a smart business decision
right,
to make this
exactly.
film. From terms of actual entertainment, it doesn't really say a lot that really makes sense. I feel like the film regresses, like when we were talking about some of the stereotypes of students and how they treat, especially the one girl who was... very much liberated in the first film, and then she's like, oh, well, you're fat, you're in the kitchen.
Chained right back up.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a bit of a regression there in some of the side characters. Lucas Grabeel really steals the movie in a lot of ways, and I appreciate his performance, but it wasn't really enough to save the movie for me.
Right.
And I understand where you're coming from the understanding of the viewers that the film is meant to be from.
Yeah.
But you also have to look at it from the Netflix rating standpoint, which is how do you like the movie?
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and go with that tact and give it 1 star.
1 star? Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, so overall 2 stars.
2 stars. 2 stars overall.
Okay.
But
yeah, we were pretty different on that.
I think we had a 4-star podcast, though.
I mean, yeah. But here's the thing. I definitely, if it was based on my preferences, it would have been a lot lower. But
yeah.
I felt like for something like this, that's just how I wanted to do it. I wanted to be more like for the audience. So.
Well, and like I mentioned way back when we watched The Avengers, and I gave that a 2-star rating because I felt it didn't hold up as well as a movie without the other movies that surround it within the franchise. I feel the very same way about this movie, in that, you know, you look at it and you can't really watch this movie without seeing High School Musical.
Right.
There's no kind of standalone nature to this film at all. So that kind of loses points for me there. And then just the overall money making the very apparent money making aspect of it without trying to at least make the art more artistic and right. and you know they call it mass media for a reason, but I don't want to feel like I'm being fed like a chopped up hamburger all the time.
Okay.
So anyway,
that's fair enough. Anybody out there listening, if you want to get your film reviewed by us, and we would love to do that, and we'll take anything, as is the example of High School Musical 2.
But not my High School Musical 3, because it is not
it's gone.
On Netflix.
Yeah, it's not on there anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jordan's very happy now. But if you want to, you can just email mostexcellentmovienight@gmail.com. Let us know what your pick is, and we'll put it on our list of films to try and review. But if you want that jumped up to the front of the line, you can go ahead and go on iTunes, give us a review and star rating, and then tell us you did that. Tell us what movie you want, and we'll jump that to the front like Mr. Matt Shahusky did.
Another great way to get a hold of us is through the Facebook page.
Yes. Check out. We do have a Facebook page.
We do have a Facebook page. We don't get a lot of interaction on there.
We'd love for more of that to happen.
For more interaction, yeah. Like, for example, we were talking about, speaking of TV movies, we had been talking about with Adventures in Babysitting, what would it have looked like if it had been made into a TV series?
Well, it's going to be.
Well, lo and behold, it's being made into a TV movie. Yeah.
That would be some good conversation.
Exactly.
But the other thing is we watch other movies other than what, you know, this. We go to the theater, we see movies there. So if you want to start a conversation on there about, you know, what did you think of this movie or did you see this movie? Totally up for it. I'd
Absolutely.
Love to have some conversations on there about other films.
Absolutely.
So, thank you.
So, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night. Keep it real.
You've been listening to Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
Our theme music was provided by Sweet Wave Audio. To find more royalty-free music for your own projects, check out sweetwaveaudio.co.uk.
And special thanks to Ariana Ramos for her graphic design savvy helping us with our album art.
Visit our website at mostexcellentmovienight.com to listen to other episodes, give us your opinion, and share with us other movies you'd like to have reviewed.
You can also contact us through our email address, mostexcellentmovienight@gmail.com. We would love to read them on the air.
Also, if you could rate and review the podcast on iTunes, we would be your friends for life.
For sure. That's all for now. Thanks for listening to Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night,
where movies are most excellent.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.